Come back from the Soul Survivor Conference, and I got the train yesterday and going back this afternoon. And what an incredible thing. There's 18 from New Life gone to this. It's a youth. It's from 14 to 18-year-olds. And what an incredible time. 5,000 youth from all over the UK, well, and abroad as well, just to get together and really love Jesus and worship him. And it's been an amazing privilege to see God work in the youth in this church and through the youth in this church, how what God's doing. And so I'm sure when they come back, they'll have lots of great stories. I must confess, I did feel my age a little bit. camping wasn't the joy that it used to be. Actually, I don't think camping's ever been a joy, to be honest. but I survived. And more importantly, the meetings were fantastic. They had just such God working so powerfully. I've seen the young people, not just our young people, but all young people, they're responding with such passion for God. Just to see God move. It was a wonderful privilege. Looking forward to when they come back next week. Anyway. Oh, thanks very much, Pat. That's kind. Just not this week. Last week, I was driving on the M5, and we were coming back from a holiday. And on the holiday, we got too much stuff, so stuff was strapped on top of the roof of the car. As we were driving down the M5, I remembered something that happened to us a few years ago. Again, we were on the M5. Again, stuff was strapped on the roof. But then it was a Saturday. It was a busy holiday Saturday. As we were driving down the M5 gets very congested because everybody in the world wants to get to Cornwall, Devon, all that kind of down the south. And so on a Saturday, it's just chaos as everyone heads down on the M5 for that part of the world. And we were heading down with all these people a few years ago. We were doing 70 miles an hour. We were in the outside lane. And suddenly, I heard a bang. And on the roof were four of those bodyboards, not surfboards, but bodyboards about that big. And they're the ones you kind of lie on to surf. They're not the kind of one you stand up on. They're bodyboards, and there were some chairs, some fold-up chairs, and they're all stacked up on the roof. And I heard a bang, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw, to my horror, that the wind had got underneath these boards and chairs and snapped the bands that held them on the roof, and they were hurtling down the motorway. I thought I'd strap them on very well. Obviously, I didn't strap them on well enough. Can you imagine my horror as I was thinking, what is going to happen? Those boards were all strapped together as well. If a car hit them, there's no way that a car would just ride over them because they were all strapped together. So my greatest concern was causing an accident. So I looked in my rearview mirror, looked back behind me, thinking, what is going to happen? Mercifully, nothing happens. Incredibly, we have prayed. I want to say God is faithful. We managed actually to steer off the motorway onto the hard shoulder. And as I looked behind, the boards and the chairs had landed in the fast lane of the motorway. Miraculously, no car was hit. A car behind us managed to swerve around them. And subsequent car, I can't believe this, but a subsequent car had slowed down in the fast lane, stopped, got out, and removed the stuff from the motorway into the middle reservation. I couldn't believe how someone had the guts to do that. I phoned the police, and shortly the police came. They decided to close the motorway. My humiliation was complete as they closed the M5 because I didn't strap my things on well enough. They were very patient and kind. They looked at me a little bit kind of, you're so stupid you didn't strap your things on top of the thing. But thankfully, no one was hurt. I want to say this morning, we continued on our way. I was so grateful. You see, God is a faithful God. Martika has been saying today, God is faithful. This morning, I want to speak about the topic of faithfulness. Let's pray together and ask God's help. God, thank you that you are the God who is faithful. As we come today to look at this topic of faithfulness, would you inspire us? Would you help us? Would you challenge us? Would you change us, Lord? We ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and move in this place? Help us. Open the eyes of our hearts that we could see. Open our hearts that we could grasp something of what your word says to us today. Amen. Do you want to be honest with you this morning? There are times where I feel like giving up. Maybe something's not going very well. Maybe a difficult work situation. We just want to pack in our job and find another. Or maybe in a relationship, things get tricky. We may feel rejected, misunderstood, used, let down, and just feel like walking away from a relationship. Or maybe some just aspects of serving God. We feel God's spoken us in the past to get on and do something, but it just seems to be getting tough. Maybe I should just pack it in. Now, I know that there are definitely times where God does want us to stop doing one thing and start doing a new thing. God is the God of new beginnings, and there's times to move from one thing to another, be it to a job, in terms of friendship, in terms of serving God. But there are other times where actually God wants us to stick at what he has called us to do. And you see, I want to talk this morning about faithfulness, our faithfulness to God. You see, because it's all about not walking away from what we know that God has called us to do. Faithfulness is about keep on doing what God originally told me to do, even though it's got tough, even though it's really hard, because God hasn't told me to do something else, then my response is to keep on doing what God's told me to do. And you know, our starting point this morning as we're looking at this topic of faithfulness is to see that the character of God himself. God has revealed himself in Scripture as a certain God. He's revealed his attributes. He's showed himself. He's not hidden himself so we don't know, but God has revealed himself and showed what kind of God he is. And one of the massive revelations in the Bible is that God is a faithful God. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, we read this. In the Old Testament, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God." Because that's who he is. That's the kind of God he is. God said, this is who he is. He is, God says about himself, I am the faithful God. That is my character. That's my personality. That is who I am. I am a God who is faithful. In the New Testament, Paul reiterates the same message in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Paul said, God is faithful. The reason he is faithful is because it's just his character. It's just natural. In other words, for God to be faithful, it's natural because it just flows out of who he is. Paul wants us to know God is trustworthy, God is dependable, God is consistent, God is not flaky. God is always there for us. God is never, ever going to let us down. I became a Christian when I was 19. And when I went to a Baptist church to start with, when I was at uni, I went along one day. I'd been a Christian about 6 months. I sat next to this older gentleman and I was very excited. I said, I've been a Christian 6 months. It's as though he'd be impressed. He looked at me with eyes filled with Jesus. He said, I've been a Christian 50 years. And I just thought, wow, that's amazing. This guy has known Jesus for 5 decades. This man has seen God act as a faithful God in his life over half a century. Well, now I've only walked 37 years since 19. I'm 56, by the way. I can see all you trying to do your little sums. I could tell some of you just going looking up like that. Some of you actually were using your fingers. I knew, I could tell. And I've got to be honest that even though I've not always understood what God was doing, even though sometimes I've not liked the things that God was doing in my life, I've not liked the fact that my requests weren't answered when I wanted them to be answered. But actually, I can say this morning, after 37 years, God is a faithful God. My testimony is God has never let me down. God is in control. Even at the time, it looks like, God, what are you doing in my life? Actually, as I look back, he is always in control, and God's timing is always perfect. God leads us step by step in his path and the things that he has for us. Now, the image that's used to describe this aspect of God's character in the Old Testament is that of a rock. Not a sort of rock you can go and pick up and throw, but a large rock that's not going to move. A large rock that even if a few of us got behind, we wouldn't budge. God is described as an immovable rock. It's in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. And there God reveals himself. He says, God is the rock. That's who he is. He's this immovable, always the same, weather come, weather go, summer, autumn, winter. It's going to be there. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. It's a lovely verse to learn that. In fact, there's some songs based on that verse. But a faithful God. A faithful God. That is who he is. I've let God down. I'm sorry to say that in my years, I've let God down. I've not been 100% faithful to God. But I just want, as we start this morning, I want to let this sink into our hearts. God is 100% faithful. It's just who he is. He is. He cannot be other than his character. And he, this God we serve, is a faithful God. Many years ago, I was a school teacher. Long time ago, I was a school teacher. And in those days, when it was parents' evening, the parents came to see me as a teacher, but they didn't bring their children along. I know nowadays often parents bring their children to parents' evening, but in parents' evening, years ago, only the parents came. So I sat there at my desk with my mark book in front of me, and the parents would come, and then they come and just, in their turn, they come and sit in front of me, ready to talk about their child. They invariably didn't introduce themselves or name their child. They just sat down and started talking. I played a fun game. My fun game was, can I guess who your child is? Because do you know what? We've got those remarkable similarities between, funnily enough, between parents and children. And if you, I sit there thinking, oh, I wonder if this is such a person. I wonder if this is their child. 9 times out of 10, it was dead obvious. It was like peas in the pod. It's obvious who the child was. I didn't need to even introduce them. It was obvious. Just last week, I was walking down the road, and Matthew and David, my sons, we were walking together, and there was a party of guys. I think they were out on a stag do. They were all dressed in a bit of a funny way, so I guess it was that. And as they came towards us, they were in a kind of jokey mood. And I heard one of them say to the other, "Oh, I bet he's not their dad." Because they, for some reason, thought that David and Matthew look a little bit like me. Must be the hair. Now, the emphasis in the Bible is, as we become Christians, as we're adopted into God's family, then we start to take on some family likeness. That as we adopt, as we become Christians, part of becoming a Christian is being adopted into the family of God. And that's because we're part of his family, we start to become more like the dad. There's a process going on. So that God's faithfulness, you know, it's who he is, God is a faithful God, starts to flow into my life. God's character starts to flow. So obviously it's not an outward thing, it's an inward thing, it's a change of character. Which means in Ephesians 1 verse 1, Paul can talk to the church in Ephesus. And this is what he says in Ephesians 1 verse 1. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus." He calls them, you believers, you're the faithful ones. And the reason he can call them faithful ones is not just because they happen to be really kind of tremendously people of good character in Ephesus. Not at all. In fact, quite the opposite. But actually, because they've been walking with God a little time, God's faithfulness has started to flow into their life, and they've started to emulate their Heavenly Father. Something started to happen in them. They've started to act a little bit like Jesus. So if God's the faithful one, Jesus is the faithful one, that us as followers start to take on some of that characteristics. I want to talk to you this morning about two aspects of faithfulness. One aspect is this imparted sense of God the Holy Spirit working family kind of characteristics from God, from Jesus, into our lives. That's the first aspect. And the second aspect is faithfulness as a choice, where it comes down to me choosing faithfulness. Those are the two kind of, almost like a coin. If you look at a coin, you've got heads and tails, two sides, they make up one coin. These two things are almost, there's what God does in us, and then there's my choice. But together they work to make one thing, which I believe is faithfulness. So firstly, we look at faithfulness as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And our key verse is, of course, Galatians 5 verse 22. And Paul here writes to the church, and he says, "The fruit of the Spirit," you know these, you've heard them before, "but it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." The fruit of the Spirit, the thing that is produced, the fruit that is produced in our lives as believers, wasn't there before necessarily, but it's fruit that's produced, is the fruit of faithfulness. It's something which is deposited in my heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's naturally, or rather should I say, supernaturally, the work of the Holy Spirit to birth, to sow, to change, to bring this change in me, that I would become more like Jesus, more like God. God the Father is utterly faithful. Jesus utterly faithful. God is your Father. Jesus is your oldest brother. You're adopted into his family, and therefore we're being changed into his likeness. Paul tells the church in 2 Corinthians 3, there's a process going. Hey, you Christians in Corinth, do you realize there is a process going on from the moment you became a Christian? We are being transformed into his likeness. The process is you walk your everyday life. There's something happening on the inside. You can't see it on the outside. It's supernatural. The Holy Spirit is doing something in your heart where you are being changed. You are being transformed. You're not the same as you were yesterday or last year, because there's a process going on as Jesus is revealed in you, as Jesus' characteristics are being birthed by the Holy Spirit. You see, what's happening is he's changing my flakiness into his faithfulness. He's changing my randomness into his dependability. He's changing my inconsistency into his consistency. Changing my untrustworthiness into his trustworthiness. Changing my failing others into his never failing nature. Changing my letting other people down into his supportive, not letting people down nature. Now, if you look around you at friends at work, friends at home, family members that aren't Christians, actually faithfulness, being faithful is a very rare thing, actually. If you look around us, at people that aren't, particularly aren't Christians around us, faithfulness is kind of, there's not a lot of it about. In fact, David, the psalmist, writes this in Psalm 12. And he looked around at his friends, and this is what David said. He says, help! He says, help, Lord, in Psalm 12, verse 1 and 2. Help, Lord, for there is no one is faithful anymore. He looks around at his friends. He thinks, it seems like in the society that I live, this is David, thousands of years ago, in the society I live, says David, Lord, look, there's no one's faithful. They're letting people down. They're saying they do one thing and then they don't do it. They come across as a good friend, but they're really not a good friend. They say they're going to help and they never turn up. David says, look, faithfulness, it's not there anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies, they flatter, they harbor deceit in their lives, in their hearts. See, David's lament as he looks around is, wow, this faithfulness has just disappeared. It's not around. If that was true amongst God's people all those years ago, how much more today? How much more today is faithfulness something which is not around? See, to be faithful today means to do what I say I'm going to do. If I say I'm going to do something, if I say I'm going to meet you at 7:35 outside Oxford Street Tube Station, I'm going to be there at 7:35. Not 7:36, 7:37, an hour later. I'm going to be there because I say I'm going to be there. Faithfulness means I don't let other people down. Faithfulness means being a good friend to those around you. Faithfulness means working hard for my employer. Faithfulness means serving my spouse if I'm married. It means sacrificing for my children if I've got children. It means giving my life to serve Christ wholeheartedly. It means using my money in a way that pleases God. It means doing the things that God's told me to do. See, I believe faithfulness is one of those things. I think it's one of the mega themes in the Bible. If you start at the beginning, look through all the 66 books of the Bible. Actually, faithfulness is one of the mega themes, one of the really important things. And really, it's important for three reasons. Firstly, it's important because it's the faithful people who get blessed by God. In Proverbs 28, verse 20, if you just put it up, here we've got, there's two different translations of the same verse. One translation says, a faithful man or person will abound in blessings. Or put another way, a faithful person will be richly blessed. We've lost the D off, bless them. Will be richly blessed. But it's what the proverb, the writing Proverbs is saying, is that it's the person who's faithful who is going to be blessed. There's a man called Anthony Rossi. And this guy left Italy in the 1920s, along with many other people that left Italy at that time, went to America to seek out a new life. And when he arrived, he had nothing. He arrived as a teenager. He had nothing but the clothes that were on his back. He was taken in by a Christian couple, and they shared their lives with him, and he became a Christian. And one Sunday, he prayed this prayer in church. He said, Lord, if you will give me a business idea, I will be faithful. This is his promise to God. I will be faithful to give you a portion of everything I make, for profit I make, back to your work, God. That was the kind of the deal he did with God. He said, look, God, if you could give me a business idea, so a little idea to make some money, then I will faithfully give back to you. That very morning, as he was sat in church, an idea popped into his head. He suddenly thought, wouldn't it be great if, rather than having orange juice that was been sterilized or heated, if we had people could drink fresh orange juice that would have been squeezed and kept cold. And he was the first businessman ever to use refrigerated lorries. So he commissioned these lorries to set up with the refrigeration, and he thought, what can I call my company? Ah, Tropicana is what I'll call it. And so he started his company Tropicana, and he gave 50% of his income to God's work every year until he died at the age of 91. Now that's a man who was blessed by God. Because he was faithful. He said to God, God, if you give me an idea, I will be generous. I will give back to you. And he did exactly. He didn't think, I mean, imagine how much profit Tropicana must have made. I don't know. But imagine 1 year. Say, for example, he made £1 million profit. Well, it's easy to give a percentage, 50%. If I get £100, well, okay, God, here's, you have £50. I'll keep £50. But if it's £1 million, he says, God, do you really need £500,000? But he was faithful. He said, God, this is what I said. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I said. And God blessed him. You see, the thing is, God's blessing is on us if we are faithful to him and to others. Secondly, faithfulness is important. If I want to be used by God, I've got to show myself that to God. I've got to prove my character. In one sense, I've got to show God that I'm a faithful person. Paul said this to Timothy. Timothy was going around appointing leaders, and he said, the things you've heard from me, I want you to, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who'll be able to teach others. Paul was saying to Timothy, go and look in the church for people who you can train up and use. And the test is this, are they a faithful person? Not are they gifted? Can they preach? Have they got talents? Have they got gifts? The only qualification he says is go and find people in the church who are faithful. That is the qualification God was looking for to be able to use someone. The thing is, gifts are easy. God can give you gifts. This morning I could pray, God, would you please give me a gift of whatever? And since the gift is from the giver, it's supernatural. God deposit in my heart. It's not easy. It's easy. It's not hard. Supernatural gifts from God are not hard. But actually, God is looking which of the people here that are available of us are faithful ones who he could trust and say, right, yes, you. Fantastic. You've proved yourself faithful. I'm now going to be able to use you. So the issue being used by God is not gifts. It's not gifts. It is, in fact, my character. And that's much more tough. You see, gifts are easy. I sit there, God, please could I have this gift? On the, we just had this on Soul Survivor. Just been one of the, yesterday morning, the guy said, was preaching about speaking in tongues. And he said, I know that it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to speak in tongues, there'll be an opportunity when he explained about the gift, how the gift works, how useful it is to pray, and to give some examples. And he said, right, if you would like to speak in tongues, then if you'd like to come to the front, we'll pray for you and pray that God would give you this gift. And so these children, well, they're young people, just literally thousands, there were 5,000 people there in total, but literally the place just, everyone just went, woof, go forward. And then God just gave, I mean, it wasn't hard, God just gave people gifts. It's just a gift from heaven. Here we go, boof, there's your gift. It's not difficult, but what is difficult is proving faithful. Because that is something on the inside. It's something that God does in our character. It's not something that just happens. It's something that's a process of transformation. It's something that God does in us. Now, I want to encourage you this morning because I know, I really want to encourage you because I know some of your situations. I know many of your situations. And I know you've been faithful. I know you have. I want to encourage you. And I want to say, well done. My message today is don't give up. Some of you have been faithful. I know work is tough, it's miserable, it's hard. And unless God says now's the time to move, don't give up. Keep going. There may be relationships that are just hard. Family relationships, other relationships that are tough. And your sense is, I just want to run away. I've just had enough. That is it. Unless God gives you that sense that now is the time for a change, whatever that is, actually, God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to be the person who keeps going in that. So my message for us all today is well done for being faithful. Don't give up. Don't give up. Thirdly, faithfulness is important, because it's this character change. It's this thing on the inside where God does, where he makes me more like Jesus. In Galatians 4:19, the purpose of this process while we're here on earth, while we're Christians, Paul talks about how Christ is formed in you, in you. So there's this process going on, we talked about it a little earlier, where every day something else, the Holy Spirit is changing, making me more like Jesus. Things that are not good, the Holy Spirit is convicting me, showing me, change that. Other things God's imparting and molding me, this process going on, to produce this fruit. Because one of the things we saw, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. In other words, I'm going to try and be faithful. This aspect of faithfulness is God, by the Holy Spirit, works in my life to produce fruit. Fruit is produced from a tree. There's a story of two naughty boys, and their parents had a way of punishing them, which was when they were naughty, they'd say to these two brothers, right, go to your room and think about what you've done. Parents thinking, well, that will sort them out. They can reflect on their naughtiness and sit there and think about their ways and amend their ways. But their room upstairs, right by their room upstairs, was a tree. And so what they would do is open the window, jump onto the branch of the tree, go down the tree, go to the field, play football for however long they wanted to. And when they thought, well, we've probably done enough now to our parents, we could come downstairs, they then go back up the tree into the bedroom and then come downstairs suitably contrite. The fact that they had served their punishment. Everything was great, but one day they overheard Dad say to Mum, this tree outside our house, it's a fruit tree, but it hasn't borne fruit for years. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to cut that tree down. They were horrified. They were thinking, what are we going to do? They needed a plan. This was their plan. They went to bed early that night, made some excuse, went to bed early, gathered together all the money they could, wait until things kind of quietened down a bit in the house. They then crept out on the tree, down the tree, ran to the shops before the shops closed, and they bought as many apples as they could. And they bought some cotton. They went back to the tree, and at night time, they hung all these apples all over the tree. Went to bed. In the morning, Dad got up. He walked outside and said, Mary, it's amazing. This is incredible. This tree hasn't borne fruit for years. It's covered. It's totally covered in apples. You have to see this. It's got big, red, juicy apples all over it. Mary, the wife, went outside. She was astonished. She said, that's amazing. It's because it's covered in apples. The amazing thing is it's a pear tree. You see, the boys had never seen the tree fruit, and so they had assumed, wrongly, that it was an apple tree, but no, it was a pear tree. What the tree produces, so a pear tree produces pears, apple trees produces apples, and so when as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, he produces the fruit, and the fruit he produces is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's of him. It's what he's like. So the fruit that he produces, so he produces something of God in us. This is the most amazing thing, just theologically, just to get our heads around this, that some of the attributes of God are communicable. But some of the aspects of God, he can actually give to us. We can understand them. They can actually become part of us. It's incredible if you think about it. The infinite, eternal, all-powerful God can actually share some of his character with us. That he can come by the work of the Holy Spirit and produce fruit, genuine fruit, not tied on fruit, but genuine fruit in our lives. Do you remember I said there were two sides of this coin of faithfulness, like heads and tails? Now that's one aspect. The other aspect is there's an aspect of faithfulness that comes from me. It's volitional. It's my choice. I choose to be faithful. I have a choice. Am I going, in any situation, am I going to act and behave in a way that shows I'm faithful or not? Our key passage this morning is in Matthew 25, and it's the parable of the talents. Famous passage about this master going on holiday, not going, going away, he's going on holiday, he's going away anyway, and he gives his servants bags of gold and to work with. And this is, I'm going to read it to you just here in Matthew 25. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God, he says again, there was the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. So here's the man who's going, he's a wealthy man, gets his servants together. He's going away and he gets his wealth and he says, right, you're my first servant, you can have five bags. To one he gave 5 bags, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to their ability. So he thought, well, you've got able to do stuff. I'll give you those, you give those. God, he gave these guys these bags of gold. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 bags more. So also the one who went had 2 bags, gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 bag went, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his account with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. You see, the reason why the master commended this servant is he had been faithful. He'd done what he was told to do with what he was given. The master had given him something to do, given him this 5 bags of gold to invest, and gone away. And then he had rather been lazy, rather than blaming somebody else, rather than doing something else, rather than thinking, what can I do? He did what he was expected to do, which was to invest what he'd been given, use what he'd been given. So when the master returns, he has something to show. Now, Jesus told this parable in the context of the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, this is what it is, and this is what it's going to be like in the end days when you come and I come and stand before, one day we will stand before Jesus. And the issue won't be, are you a Christian or not? Because that's a separate thing. We're saved because of the blood of Jesus. We're saved freely because Jesus died for us. This is the question as we stand before Jesus. What have you done with what I've given you? And the thing is, Jesus, it says here that Jesus entrusted these servants with his wealth, each appropriate to their ability. See, God's given us here different gifts and callings. We're all different here. Every one of us here is different. But God has got something for you to do. Something in your workplace, something in your family, something in your relationship, something here in the church, his kingdom. God has stuff for you to do. Romans 12 verse 6, Paul says it like this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. You're unique. You're not like the person next to you. You might be very relieved about the fact you're not like the person next to you. But you're not. You're not like the person next to you. And you have got a unique package from God. God has given you this uniqueness and this package that he wants you to use for his kingdom, to be faithful in using for his purpose and his kingdom. And of course, the question was, the one who only given one didn't do what he was supposed to do. He wasn't faithful. He wasn't faithful with what he was being given to look after. And we've been given, each one of us here is given, he's got these gifts and talents, opportunities. The amazing thing is today, you face unique opportunities that I don't face, that maybe nobody else does. You touch. I was thinking when I was working years ago, I worked at an oil company called BP. Around me, no one was a Christian. And I thought, and they didn't know any Christians. I was thinking, these people who I work with, they don't know anyone else. They don't read the Bible and they don't know Jesus. And perhaps for some of these people, I am the only person. I'm unique in that sense of the opportunity to touch the lives of those people. Each one of us here is unique. Someone said this, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to ask you, were you successful? He's going to ask you, were you faithful? That's the question. Did I do what God told me to do? You see, just to finish this morning, faithfulness is a massive part of our Christian life. It's a huge part. Someone who described faithfulness as this, faithfulness is a lifestyle of being consistently dependable. Faithfulness proves itself over and over again. Faithfulness hangs on to the end. It won't quit. Joyce Meyer says this. I love what Joyce says. She says, faithfulness is not about doing something right only once, but doing something right over and over and over. Just keep on doing the things God's told us to do. That's the quality of character that God's looking in my heart and your heart. Not that it's going to be easy. Bill Hybels, who is the pastor of one of the largest churches in America, says this. Faithfulness means you stick to a commitment even after the shine wears off. Faithfulness means you keep saying no 1,000 times if you must to the temptation of cutting a corner and taking the easy way out. Faithfulness means you refuse to jump ship, even when the waves of adversity splashing over the decks of your marriage, relationship with your children, your relationship with other people. Faithfulness means you stay true to your relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs. You see, it costs to be faithful. It cost Abraham giving up his only son. It cost Esther the risk of her life. It cost Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. It cost Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. It cost Stephen, in the book of Acts, his life as he was stoned to death. You see, the faithfulness, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's what God's working in our hearts and lives, but also it's a choice. Max Lucado, one of my favorite Christian writers, says this: I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. My children will never fear that their father will not come home. See, in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, God gave each servant something to do. They were different. And God has given each of us something to do. My question for you this morning is, in your relationships, in your workplace, here in the church, what has God given you to do? Let's stand together. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I humble myself before you, Lord, recognizing, oh God, my failure in this area. Lord, my need for more of the transformation of Jesus, to be more fruitful, more of this fruit of faithfulness. Lord, would you do a miracle in our hearts today as we're before you? Would you do a miracle of producing fruit of faithfulness? God, would you work in our character? Would you transform us? Would you make us more like our older brother Jesus? Could more of God's faithfulness be in our hearts today? And would you give us the guts and the courage to choose faithfulness? When we have a tough decision at work, tough decision in relationship, to choose faithfulness. God, help us. God, help us. I just feel to really encourage you this morning. I know many of you have been faithful, so faithful in trying difficult circumstances. I just want to encourage you from the Lord. Well done. Well done. Well done. Just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to nudge each of us individually. If there's maybe a relationship, an issue at work, something in our family, something, whatever, something our finances, that the Holy Spirit this morning just wants to remind us of. Holy Spirit, I pray, would you come now into each and every heart, into my heart, into our hearts. And if there's something where you want me to prove faithful, there's something you want me to grasp today, there's something you want me to address today, would you just speak in the quietness of each heart, Lord, here? Just feel as we're quiet, as for one or two of us, maybe we're struggling with money and there's a sense of real kind of weariness at trying to get the finances back in together. And there's a kind of sense of, God, this is just such weariness of trying to sort out the money, but it's just really hard. I just feel God wants this morning to freshly impart to you his stickability, his sense of keep going, his sense of keep on keeping on, that God is and will work in these things. Some of us, I think, this morning feel like we're juggling too many things, thinking, God, I've got all these things in my life. It just seems like I can't keep going with all these different things. And again this morning, I just feel, ask for wisdom from God to you. Maybe there is one to put down at this time. Maybe there are some things that God wants us to focus on more at this time. And maybe God wants to strengthen us that we can keep on being faithful in different areas of our lives. I just also feel there's maybe one or two that just really feel at the end of their ability to keep going. And it's just like you think, I just can't keep standing, God, anymore. And I feel that God just was, it's like God's going to give you a chair just to sit on for a season and get your strength back. That he would somehow lift these things from you, enable you to get your strength, that you could again stand up, again rise up, again take the responsibilities he's given you. But just for a season, that God would give you that sense of ease and that sense of rest and that sense of him not having to do all these responsibilities. I wonder if, just while we're quiet, I wonder if you just turn to the person beside you, put their hand gently on their shoulder, And we're not going to share any confidences today. It's a personal thing, this. Don't leave anyone out, so twos or threes. Just put your hand on the shoulder. And would you pray for courage and strength for your brother and sister? Would you say, God, would you give my brother strength, courage for what he faces? Would you help my sister? If any of the things I've shared with you today are you particular, I'm happy to pray for you later on if you want to come. That's fine. Notice sheet of a lovely sunny day. Okay, let's get our faith together, guys, for a lovely summer on Hampstead Heath. Bring along some food. They have live music up there from 3 o'clock. Different bands, different genres of music every week. And so it's a lovely way to spend an afternoon in the month of August. Fantastic. Martika's got it's a testimony to share. Let's give Martika a big warm hand. Come on down, sister.
Thank you, Paul. So on Thursday night, some of us went to the Hillsongs conference, and it was really good. What's his name? Who preached? Stephen Furtick. He preached a really good message on hope. So we all left really sort of filled with the Holy Spirit. And we got in the car, and I got into a car accident with this motorcyclist. And I didn't see him, and he went into the side of my car. But thank God he was okay. We were all okay. And I kind of looked at the side of my car and I thought, you know, we've just been in such an amazing time with God. And now look at the state of this and I've got to fix it. But thank God that, you know, that guy was all right and it could have been a lot worse. And I just think, you know, sometimes when we're close to God and when we hear him and really experience his love, I think that the enemy can try and steal that from us. And I just wanted to encourage you all to just keep going and moving forward with God. Because I went back the next night with my gran and she gave her life to Jesus. And, you know, she comes from a culture where, you know, going to church is very normal. And I've always asked her, but are you a Christian, Grandma? And she's kind of gone, oh, I don't know. And she did give her life on Friday, and she got one of the Hillsong's Bibles. And I'm just really grateful to God because he's got a good plan and he's good. Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. The children are going to make a move now. If you're under the age of 18, from 0 to 18, Michelle would love to have your company. And so if you go with Michelle, let's give Michelle a warm round of applause. Thank you so much, Michelle.